how big should the bandwagon be? I saw Kevin Sherrington use the SB title this morning. Can we think that big right now?
If I play like they did against New Orleans, they can beat anybody. And that's the formula. Quarterback doesn't turn the ball over. Elliott gets 25 touches, control the clock for 33 minutes. That's going to win a lot of football games, and that's the identity of the Cowboys. Some defenses won't let them do that, but by and large, with the way they're playing right now, they can beat anybody.
Yeah, they can. I think we probably should just hold off a little bit on the SB talk because this division is...
Well, that wasn't me. That was Kevin. That wasn't me.
I know. Yeah, Goose, stop it. Tell him to stop it. we have a... It's a huge game Sunday against Philadelphia because they're nipping at your heels, and that's the one team I think everyone's kind of afraid of, defending Super Bowl champs, division champs. They're not going to go down quietly. And as well as they played against New Orleans, you go Sunday against Philadelphia and lay an egg, you're not in first place in the NFC East anymore. Now, their road is pretty difficult, but you can drive some dirt in that grave if you get this win Sunday.
Now, if you get this win, you basically won the division, I think. Because at the end of the season, you got Tampa and the Giants. The Colts game up there will be tough. But I think the Cowboys have the talent to win out. The tough part is if you do win out and you finish in the third or fourth seed, you're going to have to go to New Orleans or L.A. to play. And it's a lot different playing those two teams on the road than it is playing them at home.
Hey, you got to go someplace, and you got to go someplace good. They're not going to let you play the 49ers in the playoffs.
No, and I'll tell you what, I always felt that you don't need a quarterback to get to the playoffs, but you need one when you get there. Mm-hmm. And Prescott is going to have to dial the game up productivity-wise when they get to January. They're going to need more than Elliott in January.
Has Prescott in the last few weeks started to figure it out? The end of last season, the start of this season, he was wandering around. Has it all begun to sink in for him?
Yeah, you look at what they've got. It started to sink in when they got Cooper. All of a sudden, he's got a reliable set of hands that can make the plays down the field. Now you put Cooper up there, and you got Beasley, and you got Elliott. You got three pretty good weapons, and I think he needs weapons to get by. You can't ask Prescott to put the team on his shoulders and carry them. He needs help. And when they get Cooper, that kind of opened up the passing game for him. What he does best is not turn the ball over. There are now 23-2 in games he does not turn the ball over, including the last four. He doesn't beat himself. Now, on the flip side, the people are upset he's not passing for yards. There are only three teams that haven't had a 300-yard passer this season: Cowboys, Bills, and Cardinals. And you know why the Bills and Cardinals haven't had one? Rookie quarterbacks. But Prescott has not had that 300-yard game yet, and I think that's what a lot of fans want. They want to see a guy throw for 350, 360 on a given week, because all around the league, they're passers throwing for 400 yards, and the Cowboys have one that hasn't thrown for 300 yet.
You know, that doesn't bother me at all. You just go out there and get the win, and I don't think you can count on Dak to carry an entire game. But if you need a series and you need him to use his legs and get a tough first down on the ground like he did against New Orleans, then I fully believe that he is growing up to the fact that, all right, we need this series and we need to go down the field. Yeah, it's not going to be a flashy 75-yard bomb or whatever, but right, this team is a lot better when they methodically move the ball down the field. Third and two, get 4 yards first down and keep that clock going. Then I think he's getting a lot better in those situations.
Yeah, this team, he's a very good quarterback, and this is a very good team when they are close or in the lead. It's when they get behind, and then your quarterback has to throw. He has to throw 40 times. That's when this team's going to get in trouble. You know, they've been in the lead at halftime. That when they're in the lead at halftime, they don't lose, and that's his game. Now, if all of a sudden they're down 20-3, like the Chiefs were against the Rams that first week, you know, it's going to be tough for them to come back because they're not going to have the productivity passing wise. It's going to be tougher to pass for 350 yards when you have to pass. But as long as this team can stay in character, Prescott doesn't turn the ball over, Elliott gets 25 to 30 touches, and the defense only plays 27 minutes a game, this is a very good football team.
Last weekend, Kansas City had a choice to make. Suddenly, a video became public of Kareem Hunt not being smart at all, kicking a woman. The Chiefs immediately cut Kareem Hunt. Was that a hard decision for Kansas City?
I don't think so. Not after Ray Rice and the way the public climate has gone. I think if that happens to one of your players, you have to move on. And even though he's the defending NFL rushing champion, you have to move on. And the other point is they can replace him. You look at last week. They put 40 on the Raiders without Hunt and with Hill touching the ball four times in the game. They've got so many weapons at tight end that it's easier. If it was if you were a running back oriented team, a generated team, it might have been a tougher call. But still, it was a call that had to be made. I mean, in today's climate, you can't hit a woman. Period. Paragraph.
Yeah, Cowboys can't survive six games without Zeke because that's who they depend on. But Kansas City.
Yeah, we've seen that. We saw that last year.
Yeah. With Mahomes doing what he's doing, then it looks like they'll be okay. So what are your initial thoughts on the Philadelphia game? I know you had to be, Goose, just laughing with your hands on your belly, laughing as the defensive performance of the Cowboys, because that's what you preach all the time. You've got to have a good defense to win in the NFL. And they held that high-powered Saints offense to just 10 points. So you had to sit back and go, see, I told you. Just listen to me.
I like that game better than I like the Kansas City Rams game. I like it when it's a fair fight. And the Kansas City Rams game was all offense, but it wasn't a fair fight. I think the Dallas defense can give you a fair fight. And that was a very entertaining game in my eyes because you kept waiting for Breeze to explode, and all of a sudden that offense starts churning like it's done all season. The Cowboys wouldn't let them. And that's a sign of a good defense. The Cowboys dictated the play of that game. And for this week in Philadelphia, their secondary's gone. I mean, they're down to guys walking off the streets that are starting. They're going to have a tough time holding the Cowboys because Cooper, I don't know how they're going to cover Cooper, and I'm not sure how they're going to cover Beasley. So he's going to be able to throw the ball, and Zeke is going to run it.
Goose, let me switch sports for just a moment. We're at the quarter pole of the NBA season, and the Mavericks have, I feel safe in saying, exceeded everyone's expectations at this point. Tonight they have Portland at home. Tomorrow, in a back-to-back situation, you have New Orleans on the road. This is another situation where the Mavericks can legitimize the steps they've taken.
And I think they will. You can see the talent on the floor. This team now has a chance. You know, play the Clippers like that. This team can go out and beat people. They're not just a one-dimensional team. You know, when they got Jordan, all of a sudden they got a rim protector and they got a rebounder. And that's what we've been preaching for the last 10 years. Go get somebody that can play some defense and get the ball when the other teams miss. There are too many offensive rebounds at the one end. I think Jordan's made a big difference. He put all those young kids with speed around him. This is a fun team to watch. And they're going to win games. They're going to beat some good teams. There's some very good teams because there's a lot of talent on the floor. Now, I think they still have to mature into a point where they expect to win and can expect to contend for championships. I think they're still a year away from that. But this is a fun team to watch in the meantime.
Yeah, I think we knew they were going to be fun. Didn't know that they would make the AAC a living hell for people coming in and trying to win games after early stumbles. They have a true home court advantage. And you add those, I think the maturity helps when you have J.J. Barea and Devin Harris teaching those young guys, hey, man, this is how you do it. Sometimes if they're off their game and they're going to be, take a seat, watch how it's done. Then you get back in there and play your game. And this mixture of youth and veterans, man, has this team rolling.
Yeah, and I love what Berea brings to the table. I mean, both on the court and off the court. I mean, and you're right. Having a veteran, having a Jordan, having a Berea, having a Devin Harris, there's a calming effect in that locker room and on the bench and on the floor. I mean, these guys have been through it. You know, the Berea played for an NBA title. And that's going to help these young kids. It'll accelerate the development of these young kids. There'll be an expectation level from the veterans that the young kids have to meet. And again, this is going to be a very good team very quickly.